Bibles tonight. I want you to turn with me to the book of Amos. The book of Amos, chapter number 4. The last several times that I've been privileged to stand and preach, I guess I've preached to the church. Try to be an encouragement and try to keep a fire stirred in the church. But God has dealt with me in these last couple of days for lost souls. Lost souls is on the heart and mind of God. Lost souls ought to be on our heart every day. We've got lost loved ones, haven't we? God help us. That we'd be burdened for lost souls, that we'd have compassion as our Lord had on lost souls. But I want to look at three verses here in Amos chapter number 4. We'll read down in verse number 11. He says, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is His name. Lord, I want to thank You again for the day You've given us, Lord, for the privilege, God, of being in Your house tonight, Lord. God, I just want to ask You just now, God, that Your will would be done in every heart and life that's here. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would move, God, and do a work. This place, Lord. Bless, God, Your Word. Help me, God, to proclaim, God, what You've given me. And I'll bow my unworthy head, Lord, and give You thanksgiving. And give You all the glory and all the praise. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I know that you've heard this text used many times before, probably, if you've been going to church a while. But this verse right here has always moved me. Verse number 12, this little phrase right here where He says, prepare to meet thy God. What a statement. What a statement. You know, meeting God is something that we're all going to do one day. We're all going to stand before a holy God. Ready or not, we're going to stand. I'm glad tonight I can say that I've made myself ready by the blood of the Lamb. He called me one day to repentance. I answered the call and He saved my wretched soul. And I'm glad tonight that I can say without a doubt, I'm prepared to meet God. Not by works of righteousness which I've done, but by His grace He saved me one day. And He made me ready. But I wonder tonight, as God has dealt with me on this subject tonight, as I've come this way with a thought on my mind, and that thought is this, are you ready to meet God? There's no doubt this morning these folks got up feeling good, decided they'd get out and go somewhere and just enjoy the day. But before this hour came, they went out to meet God. Ready or not. We can look into this word right here from Genesis to Revelation, and we can see that it's a book that's telling us through and through to get ready to meet God. This body's going back to the dust from whence it came one day. And the Spirit is going back to God who gave it. Are you ready to meet God? That's a sobering question. Sobering question. Most people go out to meet God, not even giving it a second thought. But all of a sudden, they run out of time. And they meet God, ready or not. Young and old alike. You don't have to grow old to go out and meet God. Why, when I was a young man, I saw boys my age and younger go out to meet God. Snuffed out of this world. Ready or not. Oh, the not ready. Such a sad, sad thing. To fall into the hands of a living God. Not ready. When it's so simple to get ready. To be prepared. We make preparations in our life every day for different things, don't we? We prepare for feeding our family, working our jobs. We prepare, some people do, for good retirement. A lot of different things we prepare for in life. But I'm afraid that a lot of people today are missing the most important thing, and that's preparing to meet God. No doubt in my mind, there's multitudes of people sitting in church houses today that's unprepared to meet God. Multitudes of people today sitting in churches with their name on the church roll that have never made preparations to meet God. Well, what makes me say that? I was one of them one day. Amen. When I was about 13 years old, somebody sort of pushed me toward the altar. God wasn't dealing with me. Scared me to death. And got down there. People were praying around me. And they said, "You feel better?" And I said, "Yeah." And they got up and said, "Well, the Lord saved him." Scared me to death. They wrote my name on the church roll. They carried me out and baptized me. And baptized and done nothing for me. Putting my name on the church roll done nothing for me. I went out, and when I come up out of the water, I was the most disappointed kid in the world. I thought, surely, when they baptize me, it'll make a change in my life. But it didn't. Nothing happened. But oh, one day, first Sunday morning in March of 1974, I got baptized into the body of Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost. He put me in. And I've been there ever since. I'm ready. I made my preparation. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? You see, many folks today are building their lives on sinking sand. But there's some that's hit the rock. Many people today are building their lives on a religious experience, but they've never experienced redemption. Religion will send you to hell. Oh, a lot of folks trying to work their way in. I'm glad I'm in the way of working. I'm glad I got in. Listen to that. As I give you a few thoughts out of the Word of God tonight, I want you to examine yourself. I can look at you. Won't do me no good to look at you. You know where you've been saved or not. I knew. When I was a lost man, I knew I was lost. Didn't have no I wonder. I wonder if I've been saved. I wonder. If you're wondering, you got problems. You got a big problem. Listen, examine yourself tonight. God, give me this word for you tonight. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare. Time is going to run out on you one day. it'll be too late. First of all, I want you to notice out of the Word of God there is a directive that's urgent. Urgent. God, nowhere in the Word did He say, I want you to just think about getting ready. There's an urgent directive in the Word of God to prepare to meet Him. You don't know when you're going to be called out of this life. You better be ready to meet God. First of all, there's a warning cry. A warning cry. I want you to look with me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24 right here. Now I want you to see something right here. Verse 36, He says, "Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." He's talking about when He comes again. And He goes on a little further down in verse 40, He says, "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Now listen, listen, listen. "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." He could come for me tonight. He could come for you tonight. You might never see another sunrise. There'll be people tonight that'll go out to meet God that thought surely they'd see tomorrow. There'll be people tonight that'll probably say, "I'll wait till another day to get ready." They might miss their only chance. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? The warning cry. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near." You don't go to God on your terms. You don't go to God on your time. You'll go when He passes by, when He nudges your heart, when He calls you by His grace. That's the time to get saved. Oh, listen now. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, the Bible says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, now, now. He didn't say, "Think about it." He said, "Now." There's an urgency about coming to salvation. A warning cry. All of you know the story of the parable of the 10 virgins in chapter 25. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 took oil in their lamps and 5 didn't. The Bible said that while they slumbered and slept, at midnight, the cry went out, "The bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And they arose and they trimmed their lamps. 5 were ready and 5 were not. They said, "Give us of your oil." He said, "No, no. No, no, no. Go out and buy for yourself." And while they went out, listen to this now. While they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You better get ready. Door's going to shut one of these days. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Listen, I'm talking about a warning cry. God is crying out through the pages of this Bible, "Prepare, prepare to meet me. I'm coming back for you one day." Ready or not. Then, in this directive that's urgent, not only a warning cry, but there's a warning of callousness. I believe there's people that's heard the call of God, Time and time again, they've heard it over and over. They've hardened their heart against the word and call of God. There's a great danger in that. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts while He speaks softly and tenderly. Has God ever touched your heart, trying, pleading with you? The Spirit of God ever pled with you to come and be saved? Come, come, come. Have you hardened your heart against the call of God? There's a danger in growing calloused. Come while your heart is tender. Come while God is calling you. Come before it's too late. Oh, listen. The danger, a warning of callousness. Listen, there's a wondrous compassion in this directive that's urgent. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him shouldn't have to perish. How much sweeter can you get that God would come and die for a wretch like me and a wretch like you? We didn't deserve God's Son. We deserved hell. But He loved us enough to send His Son to die for us and give us a chance at eternal life. He paid the price. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Hallelujah to His sweet name. The Bible tells us over in 2 Peter that the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, but that He's long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish. That's amazing to me. God's not willing that any should perish. And there's some people in this world I wouldn't give you 2 cents for. There's some wicked and there's some vile people in this world that if it was left up to me, I'd probably say, send them to hell. But God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why would God be that loving? God knows what hell is like. Hell's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. It's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where the fire is never quenched. A place of eternal torment. Awful place. Heaven's talked about a little bit in the Word of God, ain't it, Brother Horace? Hell's mentioned a lot. Oh, the description of hell that we have. I don't believe we can fathom the torment that's going to be in that awful place. I'd hate to have to be there with all the wicked and vile people that's ever died and plunged off into there. Hitler and Stalin and the mass murderers, the child molesters and child killers. Be there for eternity with them. Wailing. Probably cussing. Be in that torment for all eternity. I thank God there's a wondrous compassion though. There's a way of salvation through the blood of the Lamb. Not only a wondrous compassion, but there's a way of calamity. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Eternal death. Eternal dying. You'll go by God's way. If you make it to heaven, you'll go by God's way. It'll not be by your way. It'll not be by the way of the church down the road. It'll be by God's way. It'll not be by Mohammed or Buddha or any of these religions in the world. It'll be by the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a directive that's urgent. Are you really, really ready to meet God? Or do you have doubt in your mind? Today's the day to get it settled. It's time to settle eternal matters in your life. Not only a directive that's urgent, but a doctrine that's understandable. The Bible says over in the book of Isaiah 35 that there's a highway and a way. It says it's a way of holiness. It says that the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. I'm glad God made salvation simple. I'm glad it didn't take a smart man to get saved. I'd have never made it in. But He made it simple. God deals with the heart. God calls you. God draws you. God saves you. God does it all. He's done it all. He's paid it all. All He wants you to do is come and ask Him to save you, forgive you of your sins. A doctrine that's understandable. I'm talking about the blood. A doctrine of the blood. The blood of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ. Over in 1 Peter, the Bible tells us that it was precious blood from a lamb without spot and without blemish. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews 9:12, says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for you and me. It's paid for. It's free. If you die and go to hell, it'll be because of your choosing and your rejecting Christ. It's a free offering tonight. The price has been paid. The blood was the price. Hebrews 9:20 says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding there is no remission. Jesus shed His own blood. He paid the price of eternal redemption for all of mankind if they would just accept by faith and come to Him. The doctrine is understandable. I'm glad I can understand that He shed His blood for me. He paid the price for me. And I can be free tonight because of that blood. Thank God for that. Not only the blood, but the birth. I didn't used to understand what it meant to be born again. Seemed like something real strange and foreign to me. Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious man, one day, He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why does a man need to be born again? We're conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're born wrong. We're born with Adam's blood running through our veins. Adam and Eve plunged into depravity in the garden, and we needed a new birth. Born of the Spirit. You see, they died spiritually in the garden there. Spiritually, they needed to be reborn. And I'm glad when I got born again that God moved in. And He's been there ever since. He goes everywhere I go. He sees everything I do. He walks with me. He talks with me. He does everything with me. He's as much a part of me as the skin on my body. Because I've been born of Him. The doctrine of the new birth. Can I ask you tonight, have you ever been born again? I ain't asking you if you're a church member. I ain't asking you if you're good. I'm not asking you if you're bad. What I want to know, has you ever been born again? Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a good man. Probably couldn't have found a better man in the country than Nicodemus. But he was lacking. He was lacking. The doctrine of the blood of the birth and the baptism. And the Bible says in Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of mine. I'm glad the Lord took me, He baptized me by His Spirit into the body of Christ, and I am there to stay. Water baptism won't do nothing for you. Listen, we need that spiritual baptism. Water baptism will send you to hell. Water baptism, if God saves you, I think you ought to be baptized. It's an outward testimony of an inward experience. Listen, I'm talking about a doctrine that's understandable. You can understand where you're saved or lost or not. Do you line up with these things? Listen, a directive that's urgent, a doctrine that's understandable. But listen now, there's a day that's uncertain. I want you to listen to what Job said. Job said this. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also like a shadow and continueth not. He said this in verse 5. He said, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Ain't no accidents with God. I've got a bound set. You've got a bound set. I don't know when that bounds is for me. Don't particularly care to know. But it's out there somewhere for me. It's out there somewhere for you. And we'll reach it one day and we'll cross over into eternity. Better be ready. Better be ready. There's a day of exit that I'm talking about. Every time we see a graveyard, every time we see a funeral procession, it's crying out to us, prepare to meet thy God. Every time we have a birthday, it tells me to prepare to meet God. One of these days, the birthdays is going to run out on us. Prepare to meet thy God. Different things we see. Prepare to meet thy God. God's made it clear to us that there's a day of exit of this life. Nobody likes to think about that. Nobody even likes to. People want to just block it totally out of their mind, and that's bad. That's bad. Because we don't know when that day of exit is. We better be ready for it. It's coming one day soon for each of us. Not only a day of exit, but a day of entrance. You see, this heart of ours beats several hundred thousand times in a lifetime. But when we reach that bounds, and it beats its last beat, you'll lift your eyes in hell or you'll lift your eyes in heaven. No in-betweens. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no second chances. It's heaven or hell. It's ready or not ready. Better be ready. Better be ready to meet God. There's a day of exit. There's a day of entrance, heaven or hell. And that day then turns to eternity. Can anybody tell me how long eternity is? I can't fathom it in my mind. This little life that we have here is a speck of dust compared to eternity. Never, 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 never ending place. A trillion years is just the beginning. Time is no more. God says, just do away with time. It's no more effect. Eternity is too long to be wrong. You better check yourself tonight and see if you're of the faith. See if you're ready to meet God. Listen. Lastly, this right here. A directive that's urgent, a doctrine that's understandable, a day that's uncertain, but a deliverer that's uncommon. Nobody ever loved you like Jesus. God could have wiped this world out. Said they ain't worth it. But He sent us the best He had. An unspotted lamb. Hebrews 7:26 says He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled and higher than the heavens. God sent Him down here to take upon Himself the form of a servant made in the likeness of men. He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So He could hang there in open shame and have my sins and your sins placed upon Him there, that we could go free. A deliverer. It's uncommon. Nobody else could do that for us. No. Nobody else. He's unspotted. He's unequal. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus saves. Anything else is sinking ground. He's unspotted. He's unequaled. He's unrelenting. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He's still seeking to save them which are lost today. Jesus knows that time is soon going to run out on this world. And He's begging, He's pleading, He's sending men of God to pulpits. He's sending people to go witness to lost people to get in before it's too late. Jesus is the ark of safety. You better get in Christ, because we're going to soon set sail for another world. Last thing right here. Y'all come with a song with for us, if you would, please. He's unrejected. Ain't you glad that Jesus refuses none who would come unto Him? Hebrews 7:25 says He's able to save to the uttermost those that come unto Him. Saves to the uttermost. Saves the ugliest. Saves the worst. The devil told me many, many times I'd gone too far and done too much. I was too wicked and too vile. He almost had me convinced. Now I cried out, Lord, would You have me? And He saved me. So simple. But I came when He was calling me. Those that come unto Him, He said, He would in no wise cast out. He said, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Do you need rest for your soul tonight? Is your soul in trouble? Is your soul hanging out over hell tonight? Jesus wants you to come. He wants to save you. I've delivered what God's given me for you. Prepare to meet thy God.